Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
105 in Edmonton, hour number two of Oilers Now. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. Having a bit of a tough day, eh, Brendan? Struggling a bit?
I can't even get the phone to ring. I don't know what's going on. I can't get to dial out.
Wow, that's not good. Did somebody switch off a number or something from Shays? Could that have happened? What do you think? I mean, we got a provincial election, and they kept killing all
of... Well, sometimes the calls get forwarded down south to Calgary, but that's not the case for this one. We've had some callers in. I'll text George. I'll get him there.
All right. Well, I'll text him right now. How's that? We'll see if we can work our magic to hook up with Mr. The Rock, the second hour of Oilers. Now, oh, down goes the phone. There we go. Just saved it. Lightning quick reflexes. Oilers Now brought to you by World of Spas, Edmonton's number one hot tub and swim spa dealer. The ideal place to start your daily vacation in this hour for contract equipment. Canada's premium heavy equipment dealer with rental and sales. That's contract equipment. We'll be hooking up with George LaRocque, who will be our Oilers Now headliner today for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, Wilhauk today. A reminder to keep texting us on the Ashley Pine Floors text line at 780-496-0063. The River Cree Resort Casino Excitement. Bet on it. And you can text us on the Ashley Pine Floors text line, same number, 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you've always wanted with Ashley Pine Floors. Brendan, he's waiting for the call. He just texted me back. Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue. Again, we're on Twitter at Oilers Now. You can tweet me personally, Bob_Stauffer. Tweet Brendan Escott at Brendan with two E's, Escott with two T's. And if you got really good phone skills, you might be able to help us out right now because we seem to be having a little bit of an issue here. So we'll work on that. Again, Oilers Now, second hour, brought to you by World of Spas, Edmonton's number one hot tub and swim spa dealer, the ideal place to start your daily vacation. Should mention, all season long, the Oilers Now Injury Report is presented by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. James H. Brown is, of course, Trent Brown, Jim Brown, the gang of James H. Brown, and they are huge supporters of the Edmonton Oilers, the Edmonton Elks, and the Alberta Golden Bears. We head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline again for Contract Equipment Canada's premium heavy equipment dealer with rental and sales. We welcome back to the show the big man, George LaRocque. Hello, George. How are we doing?
A little tired, but I'm good.
Why are you tired? Did you run a marathon or something?
No, I actually just got back from Israel.
How did that go?
Well, so my buddy, David Etegi, former agent, his son was getting married, so I flew there for the weekend to attend the wedding.
Wow. How many, where were you gone? 96 hours, 72 hours? How many hours were you gone?
I went there for one day.
What?
Well, yeah, he's the best friend of mine, and I had a meeting tonight that can miss, so I could only go there for one day, but it didn't matter if I had to go at the end of the world. He's my best friend, and I had to be there for his family. So I flew in for one day. I spent more time in the plane than I actually spent there. But it was important for his son and his family to be there. So I told him I was going to be there. So that's what I did. I just got back. And actually, funny things, when I got back, I saw the boys in the plane coming back from Germany. You know, the World Championship, Montembeau, and the guys going back to Montreal. We were in the same flight because I connected from Tel Aviv to Frankfurt, and the boys connected on the same flight to go back to Montreal.
Oh, yeah. Were they a little bit more, were you more sober than they were?
Yeah, I was just, Bob, I didn't sleep for like 2-3 days, right? So
yeah,
I think I was more tired than they were, even though they played hockey.
Yeah, well, it's great that they won the gold medal. Hey, George, we were talking about best athletes over 40, and John Shannon mentioned Gary Roberts. And Gary Roberts might have been the only guy I could ever recall that stepped up and fought for George LaRocque, sticking up for him. Maybe you could tell people a story about Ben Eager and you, and then Gary Roberts.
Man, that's what I actually wanted, the funniest story ever. Gary Roberts was one of my favorite line mates that I ever played with. I remember when I was in Pittsburgh, and we got him. Our center was Max Talbot. My winger, Gary Roberts, I was on the other side. So it was a pretty physical line, and Max Talbot could, I told him, you have the green light to say whatever you want to whoever you want, and nobody's ever going to, no one's going to even look at you.
Right.
So it was funny. He had so much fun chirping guys and stuff. And I was on one side, Gary was on the other side. It was awesome. One time we're playing in Philly, Philadelphia. Usually the Battle of Pennsylvania was very animated back in these days, back in old days. And we always beat Philadelphia. Our team was too good. But anyway, there's one time I kind of got hit from behind by Ben Eager.
Yep.
And when I got hit by him, I went after him, and he wouldn't fight me because, he was supposed to be there for that, but he kind of knew that we were in different class and he was in Philly. He didn't want to get embarrassed.
All right.
So anyway, he turned me down, and, you know, with the new rules, I can't just jump on someone. But then Gary Roberts challenged him. And when he did, then he said yes, because Gary Roberts, twice his age, 40 pounds less than him. And he thought that gives me a better chance, and they're in Philly, and he could pump up the crowd. I was scared, and I was not happy, because I was like, man, if he beats up Gary Roberts, I'm going to have to ask, because there's another story I'm going to tell you after this one. But if he beats Gary Roberts, I have to ask Michel Therrien for the team to cover my suspension that I'm going to about to have, because I was going to jump him after. Because I was like, he can't refuse me. And then he goes challenge Grandpa, and he beats him up.
Right.
So Gary Roberts beats him. Like, he fights him. And it's funny, because on TV in Philadelphia, they were doing Color the Tape. Yep. Kind of like a boxing match where they're showing the age. Gary was twice his age. The height, Ben Eager was higher, like much higher, like taller than him. And then the weight was 40 pounds more than him. And Gary Roberts pummeled him so bad.
It was incredible.
Crazy. You guys have to see this on YouTube. It was the craziest thing ever. So when that happened, man, I give it to Eager. I call him, how does it feel you got beat by Grandpa? Listen, Bob, no word of a lie, it was so embarrassing the way that he lost that the Flyers, they released him shortly after. The only thing that I don't understand, you know what team picked him up?
Well, after he went to Chicago, George.
Okay. Who picked him up?
Did he go Chicago, then San Jose, or San Jose, then Chicago?
And then?
Well, the Oilers signed him to a 3-year deal.
Yeah. Why? You got beat up by Grandpa. Where was that signing? Are you kidding me? What were you thinking? And actually, I give you another story, because we're talking about the Flyers. You know when I was telling you about Therrien, how I was going to go up to him and ask the team to cover my suspension? The reason I was going to do that is I actually did it once. Another funny clip you could ask. I never told you this one, Bob. One time we're playing Philly in Philly, and they kept running our goalie, which was Marc-Andre Fleury. And I look at Michel Therrien, and I said, okay, you give me
the green light
to run Martin Biron. And he stopped laughing. He's like, don't do it too obvious. So you can actually see it on YouTube. If you write George Rack, to Martin Biron.
I remember. You slid like you were going in a second base, George.
Yeah, I wanted to honor Jackie Robinson. May he rest in power. So I kind of skated in front of Biron and make it look like I skated, and I was turning, and I was like, well, maybe because of my skating skills, it'll work, and the NHL will think, oh, he just tumbled when he turned. So I kind of turned, and I ran into Biron, and two things happened. When I did that, no, three things happened. The first thing, when I did that, no one came after me. They all waited for the referee to come in, and then they wanted to come after me when the referee was covering me up. You know, people, they waited for the referee to be in. They looked like, what are you doing? When I was there for a good minute with Biron, and nobody was doing anything. Second thing, in that game, no one ever ran Fleury ever again. And the third thing, Colin Campbell called me, and it was like, George, that was the worst light I've ever seen. He was taking care of the suspension back in those days. He's like, I'm going to give you a fine for that, $2,500 fine, but you can't do that stuff. I understand why you did it, but that was, you cannot tell me that it was an accident, because that's what I said. and he started laughing on the phone. He's like, come on, George. You know, Biron, at least he didn't get hurt. You weren't skating too fast, so you could get away with a fine. But, you know, you can't do stuff like that. And I was like, man, I slid. I just went on the denied, you know, slid. So I got the fine that the team covered. And I could tell you that now, but obviously, if I said that right away, it's illegal to do that, right?
You would have got suspended if you'd relayed that information.
No. The team would have got in trouble. But just so you know, Bob, most of the time that you see stuff like that happening, teams covers it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because it's important sometimes. You have to send a message. And, you know, guys, like, you know, like sometimes you want to do something, but you want to make sure the team's going to cover it. And they find ways to do it. To find your ways so you get that money back because you're doing it for the team. So even though they're not going to say publicly, when you take one for the team, it's because they have your back often. In regarding things that could end up into a suspension or a fine.
What I recall about the one with Eager, you guys were playing, you mentioned Philly, the game was on versus Mike Emmerich was the play-by-play guy. Geoffrey Leupold had 3 goals and 6 points in that game. They smoked you guys. And they, like, Leupold and Upshall, Scotty Upshall, who, you know, Uppy was chirping Sidney Crosby. And I don't know what got said, but you started laughing at the bench between Upshall and Crosby. And I don't know, it was one of those moments where you kind of broke out laughing. And then I remember you were in the penalty box. You got the penalty on the play with Eager. And you're in the penalty box watching Eager fight fight Gary Roberts. And just Mike Emmerich was stunned. He's like, that's a 42-year-old man. And I mean, he got 15 left hands in on Eager. Like, it was, George, I mean, I don't know if you ever beat a guy that bad before. Like, it was that lopsided of a fight.
It was like when I fought Rob Ray.
It was like when you fought Rob Ray. So he had it coming to him. Do you care now that your beloved Edmonton Oilers are out of the playoffs? Have you lost interest in it, or are you?
I watch hockey all the time because I watch it all because, like you, I'm on the radio every day and I cover it, and also because I want to know, like, you know, what it takes to win. Like, every year, as you know, there's new tendencies, right? Teams, like, they have new model, like how teams are built, and team players, like who are the players that are performing the playoff, who are the players that maybe one day we want to have to avoid the Oilers team, right? You have to watch all hockey to know what's out there, like what guys in the playoffs going to become free agent, what guy could be interesting for the Oilers, you know, what goalies could be interesting if we're looking that route, you know, so we have to look at it to know what's going on in all the other teams because, as you know, Bob, like after the playoff is gone, teams always have tough decisions to make in terms of who they're going to keep and who they're going to replace it with. So it's important to watch hockey, all the games, so we know. And when we give suggestion and we talk about things, like we know what we're talking about. We know all the players. We know the guys that performed, guys that underperformed. So, no, I watch everything, Bob, and I think it's important.
Are you surprised at what Florida has done? George, they were seventh. You know, they actually finished behind Calgary in the overall standings.
Bob, Florida, it's like a miracle because Pittsburgh, people forget this, but if Pittsburgh doesn't lose to Columbus and Chicago, they're out. I don't know how it happened with Crosby and Malkin, how they lost to Chicago and Columbus to let Florida go in. But in Montreal, all year, people in Montreal were laughing about the fact that Montreal got a first pick for Ben Chiarot, and that first pick was going to be a top five in the draft this year from Florida because they didn't protect it. And everybody thought that Florida was the worst team in the NHL because they didn't protect their first-round pick with Montreal. Montreal thought they were going to have two of the first top five picks all year long. They're laughing at Florida, and now the picks look like it's going to be 31st or 32nd.
It's crazy.
So, yeah. And then, you know, you look at even the first series against Boston, right? Boston's up 3-1, 65 win this year. It's over. And then Bobrovsky went back. He went in. And now we're seeing the same Bobrovsky that when there was a debate in the NHL who was the best goalie in the league between him and Carey Price, well, Bobrovsky right now is back to that level. The way he's playing goals right now, Bob, he's doing things that we haven't seen in the history of the NHL in terms of goals saved every game. The average is like 1.5 or 2, and he has like 3, 3.5 a crazy stuff like this.
Yeah, goal saved above expectation. Yeah.
And I know for people that are listening to us right now, it's hard to understand that stat, but it has never been, just to make it easier for you guys, it's never been done in the history of the NHL, a goalie having a stat like that.
Not over two straight series, or like you were with Cujo in 98, and he stoned Patrick Waugh in those final three games and stopped 92 out of 93 shots, and you guys came back from 3-1 down against Colorado. That's Colorado, George. Like, they had Patrick Waugh in goal and Sakic and Forsberg up front. Like, that was but that was three games that Cujo did that. This guy's done it in two straight series.
Yeah, I know, and that's why right now it's because his confidence is obviously up the roof, and it was awesome to see how emotional that he was when Tkachuk scored that overtime goal. But, like, you know, now he's rested. Bobrovsky's rested for the final. They're waiting for the next team. And, you know, if you look at it's crazy because if you look at, let's see if it's Vegas moves, right? Vegas is better in forward. They have better forwards, better D-man. But the goalie is what is going to be the big difference. And I think that Bob, if he keeps that same level that he is right now, they're going to win the cup. And man, Florida winning the cup, that no one could have even guessed that. It's incredible. And that's why, you know, often people say, just make it to the playoff. It doesn't matter how you get in, because anything could happen.
Look at 06.
You run in with a hot goalie, and then everything could happen.
Look at you guys in 06. At what point did you guys start to believe that you could go all the way to the final?
After we beat Anaheim in five games, when half the teams were plugged into IV because we're all sick. You remember that?
Yeah.
In the semifinal, we were all sick, and 12 guys were under IV, and we still won. We beat them in five. And I remember the coach, I think it was Carlisle. Was it Carlisle at the time?
Yes, Randy Carlisle, yes.
Yeah. He was so embarrassed that his team got beat by a team that half the team was under IV, that he told the media we made it up because he didn't want his team to know that we're so dominated by the Oilers that even sick to beat us. And actually, when he said that, it didn't work because you guys saw it yourself when guys come in the room and you saw the guys plug into IV because we're all sick and water bottles to our name and stuff. So after that series, knowing that we were playing Carolina, we thought it was over, like we're going to win the cup. But again, you remember, as I said before, you know, you have a hot goalie, you can make it, and win the Stanley Cup. After Rolston got hurt, then we thought it was over. Because if he didn't get hurt, we win the cup. It's over. We win. There's no question about it. And then Markkanen did a good job in releasing Conklin. After Conklin gave him the puck, he did a good job. But Rolston was going to be the Conn Smythe. He was going to win the Conn Smythe, and we were going to win the cup. And, you know, when Bergeron ran into that D-man that ran into him, a lot of guys were mad at Bergeron because, and I know he didn't mean to.
Matt Green got beat further up the ice.
Yeah, but you know, the thing, though, is that Bergie, like, usually when you hit a forward, you got to hit him and get him away from your goalie, right?
Yeah.
He didn't mean to because he's a smaller guy. He's not a physical guy.
Xander Ladd on the net drive.
Yeah, I know. And that cost us the cup. Hey, that's why we lost the cup.
I know. Hey, one more thing for just to end with, George. And thanks for joining us, coming back in and out of Israel in like 36 hours. Did you not play for Michel Therrien and Junior as well?
Yes. Yeah, I won the World Cup with him with the Granby Predators.
So was that 96 or 97, one of those years?
96 against Peterborough in Peterborough.
Okay. Was it true he was like... he was like a driver for Rock Voisin at one time or something. Like, he was a bit of a badass, wasn't he?
I don't know what he did before he was a coach, but I know that as a coach he was a badass. Okay. He was in junior. He's using the intimidating factor, like, to scare guys. He would yell at guys. I heard him once said to a player that if your mom should have got an abortion, stuff like this. Oof. That's how he was. Yeah. Not a bub. But, and again, I know that today.
Different time.
A coach could never say that today. But if I tell you all the stuff that he'd say, but we're talking in 96, right? And yeah. Junior.
Yeah.
And that's why in Montreal, he had the reason, like, in Montreal, his first stint with Montreal Canadiens, Doug Gilmour was running the dressing room because he didn't have it. It's crazy because his story, okay, after he had the success and won the Memorial Cup, right, he went to coach in Fredericton. And in Fredericton, when he went there, guys did a meeting because they wanted him out as a coach.
Wow.
He was going to get booted out as a coach, but they fired a coach in Montreal, so he got promoted. He got promoted when he was going to get fired in the American Hockey League. So he goes to Montreal with the same technique that he was in junior. It wasn't working. He lost the room. Doug Gaimo was running the dressing room with Recky, and then he lost his job again. And then he had to change his style. And when he went to Pittsburgh, he changed it a bit. It was much better, and he took a team, and he took him to the Stanley Cup final. But again, his style was still a little too rough. And then I remember Crosby went to the GM after something happened, and they fired him. And when they did, the team was so happy they won the Cup that year with Belisma as a coach. But, you know, it's just when you're a coach, you're a motivator, and you're pressing on guys, it works for some guys. But not every guy likes it, right? And you can only do this for so long, and that's why Torts, I'm so surprised he's still in the league today, because that's his style. You have to adapt today, because now, let's be honest, players are princess today. Princess. No, but it's true. You can't yell too much. You can't be too hard on them, because if you're too hard on them, they talk to one another, it's going to be a mutiny, and they don't want to play for you anymore, and then you're going to be gone. And, you know, and with all the money the guys make today, you're always going to take the guy that makes more money than the coach, right? So you have to be careful. You have to find ways to get the best out of the players without yelling at them too much. You know, hockey has changed, but so is coaching. And is it a bad thing? Is it a good thing? Well, I don't know. I didn't mind getting ripped sometimes, but at the same time, you know, you're an athlete. You're getting paid a lot of money. Coaches are there to perform. Coaches are hired to be fired. They have a lot of pressure. They have to get the best out of their team. So it's crazy that now coach today, they have to be, they have to have a psychiatric course before coaching a team, knowing that they have to know how to push the button of each of the players that they have.
George, great stuff. Thanks for joining us, especially on short notice. Didn't realize you went to Israel this weekend. Great turnaround for you. And we'll talk next week for Contract Equipment Limited.
Anytime, bro, anytime.
That is George LaRocque. It is 1:28 at Edmonton, and we will head off to a global news weather traffic update with Randy Kilburn, and we're going to jump aboard with you. We'll even open up the River Cree Resort and Casino hotline when we return at 1:35. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.